Of material nature.
Of material nature.
Kriyamanani.
Kriyamanani.
Being done.
Being
done. Gunahi.
Gunahi.
By the modes.
By the modes.
Karmani.
Karmani.
Activities.
Activities.
Sarvashaha.
All kinds of.
Ahankara vimhuta.
Ahankara vimhuta.
Bewildered by false ego.
Bewildered by false ego.
Atma.
Atma.
The spirit soul.
Spirit soul.
Karta. Doer.
Doer.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Manyate.
Manyate.
He thinks.
He thinks.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Purport. Two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform, but there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently, and that is the symptom of nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna in Krishna consciousness. The ignorant man forgets that the Personality of Godhead is known as Rishikesha, or the master of the senses of the material body. For due to his long misuse of the senses and sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahamkara vimudhatma karta hamiti manyate. The soul is not actually the doer in material life. Everything is being done by material nature. This is the realm of matter. And Prakriti, matter, is the dominator. Everything's under her control. This is not so much different than the spiritual world. In the material world, Krishna's energy is in control of everything. What's the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, Krishna's energy is in control of everything. That much is the same. But what kind of control? In the mode of control in the spiritual world is pure love. That pure love is missing in the material world. It's replaced by selfishness. The perverted form of love is lust. Selfish desire. This is ahankara. False ego. The proper identification of the spirit soul is that he is servant of Krishna. Everybody's actually servant of Krishna. Because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme controller. Simple fact, that's just reality. You may not like it, but that's reality. Just like you may not be like being the employer. You'd like to be the boss, but you're not. You don't own the company. And you, by circumstance, have to work for the company. If you don't work for this company, you'll be without a job. And who knows what other job you might be able to get. So you're stuck to remain employee. You can't become the master. If you quit, you don't even have any service. You're not going to become a master by quitting your job. So we don't have a choice. We are not the master. Ekalo Ishvara Krishna Arsho Britya. Actually, the only controller is Krishna. Everybody else is a servant. Everybody else. Whether it's the spiritual world or the material world, the same situation, basically. Everybody is controlled except for the Supreme Person. But what is the nature of the control? In the spiritual world, the control is by voluntary submission, love. Everybody wants, in the spiritual world, wants Krishna to be in control, wants Krishna to be in the center of everything. The devotees who are pure, who inhabit the spiritual world, don't want anything without Krishna. They don't want to be independent. We want to be independent. That's why we're not in the spiritual world. We're here in the material world. Ahamkara vimuda. This is bewilderment of false ego. Instead of understanding my true identity, that I am Krishna's eternal servant. Jivera swarup hoy Krishner nityodash. The real, true, the true, essential identity of all spirit souls is that they are eternal servants of Krishna. But we reject that idea. We don't want the simple natural truth. We want to make up some false truth. That is false ego. Wrong idea of who you are. You're actually what you are, Krishna Das. But you think, no, you're master of something. Master of your house. Master of your company. Master of your country. If nothing else, master of your dog. At least you're master of something. But never thinking that you're servant. That's ahankara. Bewildered by such false identification, beginning with the identification with the body. Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute chartam tatkritam cha bipadyate. Bewildered by Krishna's inferior energy, the energy that controls us not by love, but by force, Maya. We think, even though we are pure spirit, we think we're something material. The beginning of false ego is accepting the idea that this body is me. Now this body is me, so the things connected with my body, the things that belong to the body, are mine. This is my nose, my ears, my wife, my son, my house, because they're connected with your body. This is ahankara vimudhatma. Now you think you're the doer. I'm the master. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. I'm doing all this. This is the false identification. This is the false delusion. Who's actually doing it? Mostly Maya. I may be proud of my ability to use my body. I can lift my arm and I can, beat you on the head. And I'm so proud of it and I'm so strong. But where do you get this strength? Where do you get the ability? Because the demigod empowers you, you're able to lift your arm. If that demigod is displeased, You can't even lift it. What to speak of strike someone with a great blow. You can't even lift your arm. If the empowering deity, the demigod, doesn't give you that power. It's actually the material energy that moves the material body. The spirit soul just desires. You have a desire to do something, and the agents of Maya, the demigods, they let you do it through the power of the body. How do you know? How do you know how to lift your arm? You don't know. You just have an idea in your head. Okay, move the arm. But how do you actually make those muscles stretch? You don't know. Maybe you've studied, you know, physiology in school. You've studied biochemistry, and you know something. That there is production of lactic acid, you know, and some chemical operation and some electrical discharge to the muscle that triggers a chemical reaction, and therefore the muscle stretches and it moves. You know, maybe you know something about that. But then even that is just, you know, a brief outline of what is actually going on. It's actually quite a complex process. To just move your arm like that. Actually, we don't know. We don't know how it is the body is moving. We eat a meal. Do you know how many things have to go on to digest a single meal, a simple meal? Tens of thousands of complex chemical reactions are involved in digesting just one ice cream cone. You know, breaking down those complex fats, lipids, other complex carbohydrates, other chemicals. It takes hundreds, literally hundreds, even thousands of chemical reactions in the few hours that the ice cream is being digested by you. How can you think that you're the doer? You don't know, even the most brilliant biochemist in the world doesn't know all that's going on in the process of digestion. And we, most of us, certainly don't know. So it's obvious that the real doer is Maya. We're just a small participant. It's not that the jiva soul is completely inactive. But he doesn't have the power and the knowledge to even manage his own body. What to speak of manage the universe and make the sun and the moon move? We certainly can't do that. We can't even on our own make our own finger or our own arm move. We don't do it. It's being done by higher powers. Every little thing we do. So we are doers, but on a very small scale. The actual ability of the jiva soul to act is very small. Like the passenger in the back seat of a car can ask the driver, you know, I'd like to go, you know, to Kalsanka. Can you drive me there? But you don't know what it is. You've heard, you know, they told you Kalsanka, go there. You don't even know where the place is. You can't find it. You don't have the knowledge to get there. You don't know how to drive a car. All you can do is pay 20 rupees to someone who does know where it is and how to drive the car. So that much, you're a doer in the sense of asking the driver to take you someplace and paying him 20 rupees. That you can do. But the rest of it, you're depending on someone else. So we are in a small, small part. We are doers. We're not completely inactive. This verse should not be misunderstood. It doesn't mean that we're completely inactive. But our participation in it is just a small part of the whole process. What we do is very, very insignificant. Jai Shri Gurni Tai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Jai Shri Gopal. Krishna says, I think in the 18th chapter, Panchaitani Mahabaho Karanani Nibodhame. Arjuna, you should understand there are five causes of action. Panchaitani Mahabaho. There are actually five causes. And the jiva is one of them, but only one out of five. What is it? Karanani Pratak Vidam. What is it? Panchaitani Mahabaho. Karanani Nibodhame. Sankhya Kritante Poktani Siddhaye Savakarmani Adishtanam Tatakarta Karanam Chapritag Vidam. Vividascha pritak chayeva divam chayeva tripanchamam adhishtanam. That's the body. The body itself is a cause of action. Karta, the doer, that's the jiva soul, who's called the doer, but he's just one agent. The body is number one, the jiva is number two, the senses is number three, four, the various activities, and five, daiva, the higher control of demigods. Activities have their own patterns. We have our karma, and you have to act according to your karma. If your karma is such that you're a very intelligent person, then you can do intelligent things. If your karma is such that you're not very intelligent, you probably can't even read a book. You're illiterate. So you cannot do the things that require being able to read. You're limited in what activities you can do. I'm a human being, not a bird. So I cannot just jump out the window and fly away. I don't have that particular power. What activities I can do are limited by my particular karma. I can walk, but I can't fly. My body can't do it. My karma doesn't allow it. So the various karmic limitations you have also are one factor in action. And then daiva, the demigods. So the jiva is only one of the five factors. He's not completely not a, he's a doer, but he's only one participant among five. And behind all of them is the Supreme Lord. These other four are aspects of nature, the body, the senses, the demigods, your actual karmic limitations. These are different features of Maya. And of course, Maya Dyakshena Prakritik Suyate Sachara Churam. Don't forget also that material nature, Prakriti, is working under my direction. I may not be doing it. She's doing it, but she's doing it according to my desire. I desire the Supreme Lord, and Prakriti acts to fulfill my desires. I want that the living entities be provided a world in which they can try to forget me. And Maya makes the arrangements, but by my order, Krishna says. And because of my giving that order, that empowerment to Maya, therefore things happen in this world. So this verse says Prakriti is actually the doer, but there's a higher sense in which Krishna is the doer. Itaratas charteshu abhigyak swarat. Actually, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is omniscient and omnipotent. He knows everything, and he's capable of doing everything. And the various energies under the category of spiritual and material, his yogamaya and his mahamaya, they are his agents. He's the ultimate doer. We also should be Krishna's agent, rather than trying to be a free agent. We want to be free, independent. We should stop that and just be Krishna's agent. Like Arjuna was told by Krishna, Maya hita nihit maya eva nihita purvam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Arjuna, you don't have to fight. If you don't want to, it won't make much difference if you fight or don't fight. By my choice, by my prearrangement, all these soldiers are dead already. I have determined they're going to die, every one of them. But I'm asking you, Arjuna, to be my instrument. Nimitta matram bhava. I've already arranged for them to be killed. Whether you help me kill them or not, they're going to be killed. So please, Arjuna, I'm asking you to be my agent. Nimitta matram. You just be the immediate cause. I'm the ultimate cause anyway. So this is Krishna's telling us. We're bewildered if we just let Maya push us around. And then we think we're the doer when we're actually helpless under the control of Maya. We're the doer, but we're out of control. Just like I get in a car, and instead of the driver taking me where I asked to go, he drives off to the other side of the city, or he drives 100 kilometers away. Nowhere near where I asked to go. I'm out of control. I cannot even get the driver to take me where I want me to take. Maybe because he has some crazy idea to take me out in the woods and rob me of everything I have. Or maybe he's just completely ignorant. He doesn't understand what I told him and where I'm asking him to go. And he just drives off in the other direction, and I'm not even aware that we've gone 50 kilometers in the wrong direction. Because of ignorance, maybe. Or else because of some diabolical purpose, he takes me off in the wrong place, wrong direction. So out of control. Like that, the living entity is bewildered by illusion. They may imagine that they're in control, that they're the doers. But their machine, their body, is going off in the wrong direction. We're aiming off in various directions of selfish sense gratification that actually are leading nowhere good. We're not going even in the right direction of the purpose of life. We're going in opposite direction, away from the success of real success of life. We're headed toward failure, and still we think that we're in control. This is how deluding false ego is. We're actually headed straight for failure by all our foolish endeavors, and still we think we have everything under control, and we imagine that we're headed for success. This is what's being described in this verse. And we're being told it as an idea of what we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be foolish like this. We should act just the opposite. We should stop trying to be the independent controllers. Let Krishna be in control. Let his divine energy control our life. And then we can be happy. And we can be happy because we'll be headed in the right direction. Even if we still have a long way to go, at least we're pointing and moving in the right direction. This is makes all the difference. That is the process, the program of Krishna consciousness. To let Krishna be in control of our lives. We have to be under control. But why not let it be Krishna who controls us? That's the recommendation. All right, Krishna. Okay, are there any questions or comments? Yes, please.
So the five factors of for an action or accomplish.
Yes.
Body, and you said the other one is also the senses. How is the body different from the senses?
Adhisthanam tathakar vidham. Karanani vitar vidham. Well, they're not really separate, but we're looking at a different features. You know, yes, the body is there's only one body, but you can look at the body as the prakriti or the character of the body. Somebody has a strong body, somebody has a weak body. So according to your disposition, you're predisposed to certain kinds of activity. A person with a very fat body, you know, can't run very fast. He doesn't have the agility of a skinny person. So how you act does depend on the condition or the configuration of your body, the bodily type. So that's one of the factors in activity. If you have a body that's equipped with wings, you can fly. You can get where you're going just by jumping in the sky and flying. If you don't have wings, you can't do that. So different kinds of body mean different kinds of action. Whereas the senses, karanam means instrument. We have various instrumentalities. Knowledge acquiring and active senses. So we all have senses. I have an eye, and a snake has an eye, a bird has an eye. But the bird, the eagle flying in the sky, can see a mouse on the ground 2 kilometers away from all the way up in the sky. You can see a little mouse running on the ground. I cannot see a mouse from 2 kilometers away. So I have eyes and he has eyes. The eagle has eyes and I have eyes. But his eyes, his instrument, is much more acute than mine. So that's another difference. So they're categorized differently, just to look at the different aspects. You got the configuration of the body, and then you have the varying capacity of the senses. And according to the capacity of your senses, that restricts or delimits how you can act. Action requires knowledge and it requires power. So when your knowledge-acquiring senses are capable, then you can understand what needs to be done. You can perceive. Oh, you know, there's a mouse to catch. And then when you've got strong locomotive ability, you've got active senses, wings that can carry you down in 3 seconds, can carry you to the ground, to snatch up that mouse. Then the combination of the knowledge-acquiring senses and active senses, both being capable, makes possible the action. The eagle can catch the mouse. I can't. I may be flying in an airplane, you know, kilometers above the ground. But I can't see a mouse on the ground. I can't find one. And I have no ability to catch one, even if I saw one. So I can't do that action. I'm not capable of it. So the senses, the ability of the senses, knowledge acquiring and active, is another factor required in action. Your senses have to be in proper working order to do a particular action. You can desire. I would like to catch a mouse, you know, on the ground from 2 kilometers up, but I can't do it unless if I'm not in a bird's body. So the desire of the living entity is not sufficient. It's just one factor. But it has to be complemented by these other 4 factors. And then last but not least is the empowerment of the demigods. They have to give us the power. If they don't, then all of our senses are of no use. All of our abilities are of no use. As soon as the demigods take away their favor. That's why people worship demigods, because they know that. If I don't get blessings of the demigod, I won't be able to do anything. And if I do get blessings, I can do anything, almost anything. So they worship demigods to be able to do things and get things accomplished in the material world.
But even demigods are limited. They can't sanction you more than your karma.
Yes. People who worship demigods don't understand that. The demigods are not all-powerful. Their powers are limited. Sometimes they can't give the blessings you want. They don't have the power to give it to you. If you ask for immortality from Lord Brahma, he can't give it to you. That's what he told Hiranyakashipu. Sorry, I can't give you immortality. You're coming to the wrong person asking for that. And so Hiranyakashipu didn't get his immortality. He proved to be mortal because he approached the wrong person for that blessing. He was foolish, worshiper of a demigod who didn't understand that the deity he's worshiping, that demigod, is not all-powerful and can't give you everything you want. So therefore, those who worship the demigods are less intelligent. Krishna, that's why Krishna says that. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah.
Then, these factors are the doers, ultimately. What's the element of endeavor?
It's not mentioned among the 5. Oh, pratyakshesha, yeah, the endeavors. Yeah, you may be capable of doing something, but you're too lazy to do it. You don't bother to do it. You're capable of, studying very hard and passing your test. You've got the brains. You've got the study skills, you know, everything's there, but you don't bother to do it. You just, out of laziness, you decide, oh, I'm not going to bother. You don't make the endeavor, even though you're capable of doing it, you don't accomplish it. You have to have all the abilities, all the factors have to be there. Last factor is, you have to make an effort. You know, without the effort, nothing is accomplished, even though everything else required is there. Demigods say, okay, go ahead, we give you your blessings, your senses are in working order, your karma allows it, your karma says, your astrologer says, yes, you could pass that test very nicely, But still, you have to work. It doesn't happen automatically without you working, without you making an effort. Don't make the effort, and though everything else was in place, you fail. So that also has to be there. Now, you want successful activity, you have to make some. You have to work hard to get your results. Purushakarta is another name for it. Your contribution of making an effort, that has to be added to everything else.
So all the five has to...
All five have to be working together properly. That's why there's a lot of failed activity in the material world. When the five don't all work together, when something's missing, activity fails.
Does this have any effect on the consciousness? Is consciousness different or it is...
Consciousness is not, you know, this is a description of material activity. So therefore, it's a mechanical description. Where you find the consciousness is in the karta, the doer. He's a conscious being. Also, the demigods are conscious too. But the senses are not conscious, they're just matter. The activities are just material activities. The body is material. But the jiva and the other jivas who are the demigods, they're conscious. So you want to understand how consciousness fits into this process. Consciousness is one of the powers of the jiva. It's required. A jiva must have awareness of what he's doing. Knowledge and also power, both are required. You know, you have to have perception of what you're aiming at. I want to walk across the street. If I'm blind, well, if you're blind, you can use a stick and get across the street, you know. Feel your way across the street. But you have to have some sensory ability to perceive your goal. If you have no perception, no understanding of the goal, you can't reach it. You know, I want to go, you know, to Darwar. Fortunately, someone's giving me a ride. But suppose nobody was giving me a ride. I just had to get to Darwar, and I didn't know where the place was. So even if I wanted to walk there, I wouldn't be able to do it. Even if, you know, I've got 2 months, I'll walk there. You know, I don't have to get there for 2 months, and the weather's nice, and I like to take a long walk. But I don't know what direction it's in, and nobody can tell me. So I'm lost. I have no way I can get to Darwar, unless I just accidentally set off in any direction and hope I end up there. But no, you have to, for sensible activity, unless we just do things at random and hope something, you know, something right happens. But any sensible activity requires you can perceive. You can see what you're trying to do. So that has to be, a consciousness has to be there for that. It's also, it's implied by the agent who is the doer, the jiva. He has to be conscious.
Did we see sometimes we desire something strong, it happens in life?
Yes.
So how do you say that?
How's that? I don't understand.
Sometimes we desire something.
Yes.
It happens.
You mean it just happens?
Yes.
Yes. Then that's a case of something that we don't have the power to get. And the demigods are helping us. They supply. But we've done something. We expressed a desire. So sometimes things happen just by thinking. Thinking is also a kind of doing. So, because the demigods are participating, by praying to the demigods or expressing a desire that they hear, that's also, in our small way, we are acting. Thinking is also acting, but it's subtle. And sometimes that subtle act of just thinking is enough, and the demigods supply. You know, it's been raining for 3 weeks, I wish the sun would come out. And it comes out. Yeah. Surya Dev is pleased with you. You made a sincere request, selfless request, and he fulfills your desire. But that desiring is also an activity. In that case, it was appropriate. The demigod responded to your sincere thought. But you did something. You prayed to the sun god, please appear. Okay?
But still, the five factors are not coordinated.
In that case, the demigod himself is acting. He's doing it through his senses. You're just, you know, you used your mind, that's one of your senses, to put in a request. And someone else fulfilled the request. That's just a case of, you didn't do it, someone else did it for you. You know, I'd like to go to Darwar, you know how to get there, can you drive me in your car? So the second person drives you there. He's the actual driver, he's the doer. But someone did it, you requested him and he did it. You know, one Atma asks another Atma. So that we ask the demigods to help us in something we're incapable of doing. And if they favor our request, they can help us do it. They can drive us where we want to go. Okay? There's many Atmas and they can help each other in getting things done. Things are done cooperatively. Especially cooperation between the human beings and the demigods is crucial for the actual business of the material world to go on. You know, industry and agriculture depend on cooperation between man and nature. We have to worship the demigods, perform sacrifice, then our crops grow nicely, and then there's food for people to eat. So human civilization depends, real human civilization depends on cooperation between various agents, between various kartas, especially human beings and demigods. Devan bhavayate deva te deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayanta shreyak param avapsyata. By offering sacrifice, worship to the demigods, they're pleased with you and they reciprocate by giving you the benefits of life. This way, the human beings and the demigods, parasparam bhavayanta, are supporting one another. And they achieve success in life that way. That's described by Krishna. Okay? Yes.
Krishna says, no, worshipping the demigods is less intelligent.
Less intelligent.
Third chapter, 10, 11, and 12 slokas, 13 slokas. Yes. Krishna recommended worshipping the demigods through ignas. So how we can understand this?
He recommends
also
what?
Instruction of the Krishna, following instruction, intelligent.
Yes, less intelligent. Most intelligent is to worship the Supreme Lord. Less intelligent is to worship demigods. But less intelligent, but even more less intelligent, is to worship nobody. So it's better to worship demigods than not to worship. He's recommending for less intelligent people, worship demigods. It is less intelligent. But it's a little bit intelligent. To not do any worship is no intelligence. So yes, less intelligent, but still some intelligence. But we want people with most intelligence. Those who will worship the Supreme Lord, there are Narayana Kalakshanta Bhajanti Yanasuyavaha. People who are peaceful, who are in sattva-guna, who are free from envy, they worship the Supreme Lord Narayan and his direct expansions. They don't worship demigods. If you're very intelligent and very elevated, then you worship Vishnu, not demigods. If you're foolish, then you worship demigods. And if you're a complete fool, you don't even worship them. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, ki jai.